Well, we believe in this nation that money talks. That's a statement that's out there on a regular basis. Money talks. The Holy of Holies is the count room. The Holy of Holies is cold, hard cash. If I only had more of it, if it had less debt, I mean, I would be more powerful if I had more of it. And there's this power, there's this control, there's this allure behind money. And so we want to talk about money. And I want you to breathe this in for a second. What would it be like to be debt-free? Breathe that in for a second. What would it be like to have no payments and to be debt-free in your life, to actually have some money and to have some savings? And the question that comes along with that from time to time is, well, isn't there good debt? Isn't there good debt? And we ask that question to justify expenses and paying for things now that we can't afford, buying things now that we can't afford now and pay for it later. Well, let's see what God's Word has to say about that. In Proverbs 24:7, the Bible says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. And that's every single time. The 400 most wealthy people in America were interviewed by Forbes magazine, and they said the key to their financial health and success, the key to it was getting out of and staying out of debt. Because the problem is when we have debt, all of our money is wrapped up in bills, and we have to plan for payments constantly, and we have no money, we have no cash flow. The only flow is what's coming in is automatically and immediately going out, and we wind up broke. And the problem with broke people is broke people always want a car or a tablet or a toy that we can't afford. And we have to know how we can live financially in a healthy way that honors God. How can we know that we can afford something? Well, the simple principle is we have the money to pay for it. The problem is we get hooked on payments and we get hooked on debt. We get hooked on credit cards and we look at payments and money and debt as our great provider. But God says you can only have one great provider. In Matthew 6:24, the Bible says no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. But we live in a culture of financial slavery because we're bombarded by the American ideal, the American dream. And the American ideal is that we deserve stuff. We are entitled to things that we can't afford. And in order to get things that we can't afford, we need to use debt to financially be somebody. We need to build up our credit. We need to build up our credit score. How many times have you seen a commercial called freecreditreport.com? And they get up there and there's a little jingle and there's a little ditty and it's freecreditreport.com because they want you to constantly be aware of your FICO score. You know what your FICO is? Your FICO is your credit number. And deep down there in the analogs of society somewhere, they have your credit history and your credit report and your credit number. And you got to keep that thing massaged. You got to keep your credit number. Well, you got to keep it working. You got to keep it going because, well, your credit number defines who you are. So we need websites that will allow us to constantly check it and check in on it. And so what we've discovered is that this score kind of defines who we are. Our money kind of defines who we are. We need to buy stuff in order to be somebody. And so we look at FICO and we say, oh, great FICO. FICO, you defined me, my credit score. I remember years ago when my brother and sister-in-law bought their first vehicle and they went into car payments to do it. And in that particular instance, someone told them, well, you need to go ahead and get into debt because if they find out that you pay off your debts, your credit score will be higher. And so we do these things in the name of justifying purchasing things today that we can't afford and paying for them later. And we treat debt and we treat our credit score and we treat our money like it's something that's going to define who we are. But that is a lie. And when you hear something long enough and loud enough, guess what happens? You begin to live like it. And we find ourselves worshiping at the altar of debt, worshiping at the altar of money and finances, and looking at debt and money as our great provider. But God says you can't serve both God and money. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, God says, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God's command is to seek him first because he is the one that provides all things. We need to seek God. We need to put our trust in God. We need to trust God's character and let that define who we are. We need to believe that he is our great provider and live like it. He's the great provider of all things, not debt. Debt is not the provider of all things. God is. Now we can't be lazy at the same time. Okay, we can't just sit around and trust that God is going to provide. The cow is not going to get thrown in through the window and land on your plate and turn into a hamburger for you to eat. So we got to trust God, but we can't be lazy as well. We've got to work hard at it. We've got to work hard and we've got to work with God. And so we trust God and we seek God, but we also work hard, and we work with God. But this means that we need a money mind shift. Now, last week I talked about our financial problems are 20% head knowledge and 80% behavioral problems. Well, here's the head knowledge piece. We need a new shift in thinking. We need a mind shift. We need to live beyond this idea of the fact that we think that we're entitled to stuff. Have you ever heard somebody make a purchase? And they made a purchase, and the reason for doing so was because I deserve it. Or you justify your friend buying something you know that they probably can't afford, and you say, well, that's good. You probably deserved that. Well, the question isn't whether I deserve it or not. The question is, can I afford it? And so we justify all these things in our life by saying we're entitled to stuff. And in order to purchase things that we can't afford to fill a void in our hearts because we think we're entitled to things, we have to look to money and debt and the MasterCard as our great provider. But we need a new way of thinking. We need a money mind shift. We need to learn to live outside of debt, live beyond debt, and live God's way of handling money. Why do we need to live God's way of handling money? Because we've tried the American way, and the American way doesn't work. We've tried our own way, and our own way doesn't work. In fact, it's got us in a hole that we don't know how to get out of. But God says God's way starts with the idea that debt is slavery. Debt is slavery. Now, I already told you about a lot of financial mistakes and mess ups that we made early on in our marriage years ago, 16, 17 years ago, 18 years ago when we first got married. And here's a couple of more for you. Here's how I celebrated my graduation from seminary and going into full-time ministry. I walked into Best Buy one day, and this was when HD was becoming the technology for TVs, but I couldn't afford the plasma screen, you know, the thin TV. But in order to be able to get you in that price range, they made these huge boxes with the projectors in it, and so I bought a projection HD TV, and that thing weighed like 500 pounds. It took two guys to haul into the basement, but the reason I could afford it at that time, because, you know, I deserve it. I worked hard in seminary, so as a good pastor, I should just go ahead and go into debt as soon as I get out of seminary to go ahead and honor the people I'm going to minister to, and so I said, I deserve this thing, and they said, well, they had 90 days same as cash. I thought, 90 days same as cash? This is free money. Am I talking to the right people here today? I mean, that's free money. I don't have to pay for anything in 90 days. Well, sure, ring up the TV. Hey, while you're at it, our dryer's on the fritz too. Let's get a new dryer. And before we knew it, we had a new TV and a new dryer, and we didn't even ask ourselves whether we could afford it or not. And so we were into this thing for 90 days, same as cash. Years ago, I think it was in 1998 or 1999, Aaron and I fleeced a car for 3 years. We fleeced a car for 3 years, and we had payments of $350 every month for 36 months. The only problem was is that by year two or year three, God changed our station in life, and we began to do foster care and adoption, and we needed a minivan, and it was a Honda Accord sedan, and we no longer could use it, so we had to trade it in. But the only problem is when you fleece a car, you slaughter the whole cow, you got to eat the whole thing. And so we still had to make payments on a car that we were no longer even driving because we fleeced it. The other problem with that is after 36 months, you don't own a thing and you've been paying for this car the entire time. I mean, these are the mentalities that we teach ourselves in this world today. We teach the idea that renters are evil. Renters are evil, and you have to own a home in order to be somebody. And so in order to own a home, people who can't afford a home, well, they go for creative financing. We go for zero down. Hey, there's a reason that the bank wants you to have a down payment so you can prove that you can actually afford to pay for this house once you get into it. Or we go to creative financing, like the first year is this low rate that's locked in for 10 years, but after 10 years it goes up to some ridiculous rate, but we don't pay attention to that because, well, we'll be okay the first years. The first 10 years, the problem with broke people who own a home just get broker. Maybe that's why they call them a real estate broker. I don't know. But broke people who own a home just get broker. Larry Burkett, one of the gurus of healthy financial living, said this about newlyweds. Newlyweds spend the first 5 to 7 years trying to attain a standard of living of their parents that took their parents 35 years to get there. Think about that for a second. Let that sink in really good. The average newlyweds in today's day and age spend the first 5 to 7 years trying to attain a standard of living that it took their parents 35 years to get there. Why is that? Because we believe we're entitled. We believe that we're entitled to stuff. We want nice stuff. We deserve nice stuff, whether we can afford it or not. Now, you've heard the statistics. 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and today in America today, the number one reason for divorce in America today is money and finances. But you didn't know this. 90% of divorces end in the first 7 years. You want to know why? Because we spend the first 7 years trying to attain a status of financial place that our parents had that we can't afford. No wonder money and debt is the number one reason why marriages are struggling today. We have got to learn this stuff. We've got to get a new perspective. We have to allow God to get a hold of us and realize that debt is not our great provider, but that God is our great provider. Who's ready for this? You ready for the rest of this? Some of you are. All right, we're going to keep going. So number one, you got to get gazelle intensity. Some of you got to get more intensity here today. All right, look at your neighbor and say, we need more intensity. You need more intensity and saying you need more intensity. Yeah, we need more intensity. You got to get gazelle intensity. This is going to make sense in a couple seconds. In Proverbs, the Bible says, my son, if you become a surety for your friend, what does a surety mean? If you put your name on the line to go into debt for them, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of a hunter. I want to say something to you that might blow your mind. There is no such thing as good debt. There is no such thing as good debt. Now, I'll tell you in a moment, Aaron and I have a mortgage on a house right now. So that doesn't mean that we shouldn't go into debt from time to time, but we should never be comfortable with payments. We should never be comfortable with that debt. We need to work our way out of it. We need to get out of it. There is no rest when you're in debt. You got to work to deliver yourself from it. The problem is we just accept debt in America today, don't we? I mean, we just accept it as normal. We accept to have a balance. We accept the fact that we have to have a balance on our credit cards. We accept the fact that we should have student loans out the wazoo. We accept the fact that we should have two car payments. We accept the fact that we should have a mortgage. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves looking at debt and credit cards and banks as our great provider when God is the one who is our great provider. He says the opposite of that. You shouldn't rest if you're in debt. You need to pay that off as soon as you can. Don't be satisfied with it. You ever watch the Discovery Channel? I love animals and the animal kingdom and watching how God works through nature. And I saw a special episode on gazelles. And it talked about how cheetahs hunt gazelles down. And the cheetah is the fastest animal on earth. We know that. So we know that they're faster than gazelles. And here's something that they said in that special. They said the gazelle will get away 18 out of 19 times from that cheetah, even though the cheetah can run faster. You want to know why? Because the gazelle is running for its life. The gazelle is running for its life. The cheetah is just running for dinner. The cheetah is just running for dinner. But the gazelle is running for its life. And we need to get out of debt like our life depends on it. You want to know why? Because it does. Your life depends on the debt that you're living in right now. Because your debt currently will set you up possibly for failure, not only in your lifetime, but for your kids and for your kids' kids. This is about your life. And this is why we have to talk about money. It's because I love you. And I want to see you get out of debt. I want to see God bless your life. I want to see him set you free because he's done it for me. He's done it for my family. And we continue to try to follow God's ways because it is an absolute blessing when you do. You've got to have gazelle intensity. Do not settle for debt. Don't relax when you have debt. You have to get out of it because the cheetah is always looking to pick you off. College students, the cheetah is looking to pick you off. He's the guy or the gal standing on the corner saying, hey, here's a free pizza coupon if you sign up for this credit card. Because if they can get you signed up for a credit card as a college student, not only are you going to graduate with $80,000 of student loans, but you're going to graduate with a $10,000 bill on your credit card, and they're going to start to teach you at an early age that the credit card, that debt is your great provider. You got to run from that. You don't even need to be any part of that. Cheetahs are faster than the gazelle, yet the gazelle gets away 95% of the time. The cheetah is after your family. You've got to run for your life. You got to stop caring about what the Joneses down the street are doing. They're broke anyways. Don't follow their plan. Maybe you need to sell that $40,000 car and drive a hoopty. I mean, maybe it's time for you to brown bag your lunch. I hear tuna fish is really good. Ramen noodles aren't too bad. They taste better when you're not paying for them next week or next month on the credit card. Maybe you need to keep your phone longer. Oh my gosh, the room just went silent. Right? You don't need to renew your phone every 6 months. You don't need to renew it every 8 months. And Apple and the Joy technology, they'll tell you differently. But you got to run away from those cheetahs. You got to run like a gazelle. Gazelle intensity to save your family tree from the enemy. This is 20% head knowledge, 80% behavior. That's how our financial challenges are solved. Proverbs 13:22. A good man or woman leaves an inheritance for their children's children. Not just for your children, but for generations to come. You have a chance today to break a cycle of debt that could possibly influence your family for generations to come. This is life and death. We need a new mindset in order to bless our children and our children's children. It's about being set free. Are you ready to get fired up yet? I mean, we got to get fired up about this. You got to get fired up with gazelle intensity because it is life or death. We got to run. Number two. Number one, you get at gazelle intensity. Number two, do the debt snowball. Here's a couple practical tips. List out your debts, smallest to largest, and attack the smallest one first. Why do you attack the smallest one first? Because you need a win. You need a positive feeling. If you're going to lose weight, Let's say you're going to lose 50 pounds. By the way, if you're going to lose 50 pounds and you choose to do it now, you picked a lousy time of year to do that. I mean, Thanksgiving is coming up. Oh, my gosh. Food, family, and football, and not necessarily in that order. I mean, we're talking food and football and family. I mean, those are the important things, right? Then you got Christmas coming up and all those goodies. So we will pray extra hard for you if you're planning on losing weight this time of year. But if you're planning on losing 50 pounds, your goal isn't to lose the first 45 pounds. Your goal is to lose the first what? The first 5 pounds. And then once you lose that first 5 pounds, you celebrate. Just don't celebrate with a bowl of cake and ice cream, okay? That's not gonna help you out. But we celebrate. And when we pay one off, we take what we were paying in that payment and we add it to the next one, and you have more money to attack that next piece of debt with, and that's where the snowball piece comes in. And you start to knock out debt, and it becomes like a marathon. You start to see the finish. You start to get to the end. And with the little that you have left to pay off, you're starting to pay it off in huge chunks, and you're sprinting towards the end. That's kind of what a marathon runner does. They have some reserves towards the end. And well, that's what Aaron and I were doing years ago when we were getting ourselves out of debt. We finally came down to that last car payment, and we were paying that puppy off in chunks. We were paying four times what the bank said the minimum payment was. I think we were dropping $1,000 or $1,200, you know, every month. And we got that thing paid off in 2 months once we had all of our other debt knocked out. We paid it off in chunks. Why do you have to do that? Because you got to run with gazelle intensity. You know, this church built this building years ago. I believe it was in 06 or 05 or 06. And I think it was about a $1.7 million building project, and we're down to $800,000 now. It's time for us to run with gazelle intensity. It's time for us to get this thing paid off. It's time for us to get out from under debt so we can continue to do God's work. We've got to learn how to get out of debt, do it with gazelle intensity, and do the debt snowball. Number three, another practical piece. You guys keeping up? Taking notes? Have no less than $1,000 in savings. Because if you're in the process of paying off your debt, you can't put everything into debt payments. You have to hold back a little bit of money for minor emergencies. You need $1,000 cash savings. As a matter of fact, you ought to just keep it around your house. Because if your tire goes flat and you need some money and you're trying to get out of debt, you can't go back to your addiction in order to get yourself out of debt. You can't go back to the credit card. You can't go back to the debtor in order to loan you the money to buy that tire in order to get it fixed. You got to go ahead and pay cash for that because you can't keep digging the bottom out of the hole you're standing in. And that's what happens when we keep going back to the credit card. We need to have cash on hand and unlearn the behavior of borrowing. Number four, quit borrowing money. Okay, all right, I didn't need to come to church for that one. That one's simple. 20% head knowledge, 80% what? You see, we know this stuff. We're just not doing it. We know this stuff. We're just not doing it. We've got to quit borrowing money. Cold turkey. We got to go cold turkey from our payment addiction. We got to have the plastectomy. We need plastic surgery. We need to cut up the credit cards because you can't get out of the hole if you keep digging it deeper. And no matter what opportunity, no matter what want or what need arises, or no matter what sale arises, I understand you can get mayonnaise cheaper if you buy the 25-gallon jar of mayonnaise from Sam's Club. Who needs 25 gallons of mayonnaise? I mean, think about this for a second. Here's the thing about sales. There will always be sales. There's sales every weekend. You go to Kohl's, there's a sale every minute. There's a sale every day. I mean, free Kohl's cash. You know, you get percentage off there, percentages off now. And we look at that and say, well, I have to buy that in order to save money. We're the only ones in the world who believe that you can actually save money by buying things. Think about that for a second. And so you buy the first shoe, you get the second one what? Half off, even though you only need one pair of shoes. Guess what? You paid 150% of a pair of shoes that you need. The other one you don't need. I mean, think about the things that we do to justify it. Here's the thing that you need to know about sales. They will always exist, okay? And here's also what you need to know about sales. If you're interested in saving a bunch of money, guess what? When you buy nothing, you don't save 25%. I know this is math. I'm helping you with the math today. When you buy nothing, you don't save 50%. As a matter of fact, when you buy nothing, you don't even save 75%. When you buy nothing, you save how much? 100%. Oh my goodness. And so we've got to learn to quit borrowing money in order to buy stuff, in order to make ourselves feel better. We got to decide to turn down the credit cards. And if we need a car, for instance, if we need a car, save up a car payment for 10 months. Did you know the average car payment in America today is about $500 a month over the course of 84 months? If you saved up a car payment for 10 months, that'd be $5,000. And with $5,000, you could buy a little car that probably has a bunch of miles on it that could last you a year until you save up another $5,000. And then you can get a $10,000 car. But you say, what about depreciation? Well, guess what? The older a car gets, the less it depreciates. And if you buy a $5,000 car and you drive it for a year, guess what? There's not much difference between 100,000 miles and 115,000 miles. You'll still get the $5,000 back out of it. Now you got $5,000 more. Now you get a $10,000 car. Sisters and brothers, this is behavior modification. We're having a behavior modification experiment in here, and you had no idea about it, right? We're doing a Jesus lobotomy for our minds. We've got to wipe away all the things that we've ever thought about debt and money and how to handle it. And we've got to step into God's way. Because when we honor God, when we honor God financially, when we pass the financial test, when we give Him an opportunity to show up in our life, He will show up in our life. I know a story of a guy from another church, and I heard his story. It was amazing. This guy decided he wasn't going to borrow any more money. And a few weeks later, guess what? The engine blew in his car. That's how it always happens. When you start taking a step of faith for God, the test comes. The car engine blew up, but he decided that he wasn't going to go into debt. And sure enough, God provided a guy in his church that was going to loan him a car long enough for him to be able to save up the money that he needed to buy a car for himself. And today this guy owns a car debt-free, and he has a pile of cash in his life. It was a pivotal moment for his family and his future. His future hung in the balance. And rather than turning to debt, he turned to God. Did you know that there is a single choice you could possibly make that carries the weight of your future when it comes to purchases? You can mess up your life for decades to come with one single purchase. You can mess up your life for decades to come when you go into debt, buying things you can't afford, and going on the payment plan. Think about this for a second. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, here's an example. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my boys and as slaves." Elisha replied, "What do you have in your house?" And later on, she finds that she has oil, and they start pouring the oil, and God blesses. You see, one attitude mortgages the family farm. One mortgages the family and the family farm. One mortgages the future and debt, and the other person trusts God and honors God financially and gives him room to show up in life. You got to quit borrowing money, because when you borrow money, you're not allowing God to work in your life. You're looking at your debtors as your creditors as the great providers. Number five, you need to sell something. For goodness sake, sell something. Clean up your house. It's perfect. You get to clean out your house at the same time. Sell stuff. Name your dog's Craigslist. List your cat on eBay. Hey, that would solve a couple problems. I mean, think about that for a second. I hear my daughter back there hollering at me. All right, you got to sell something. Now, think about this. This is ridiculous. Some of you people have clothes and shoes in your closet you haven't even worn yet. The tags are still on it from the last sale at Kohl's, because you needed it and the sale was great. You got to sell that stuff. How about the electronics that we don't need? Sell those things. You don't need to sell a house, maybe, but maybe you need to sell your car. I mean, some of us are out of control. We make $50,000 a year. We're driving a $35,000 automobile that we owe money on for 84 months. That's just not smart. This is behavior modification. Maybe you just need to sell it. Stop trying to impress the Joneses. The Joneses don't care. The Joneses don't care. Did you know that the new car smell lasts 20 minutes, but the debt will stink up your life for generations to come? A new car smell lasts for 20 minutes, okay? But debt will stink up your life for generations to come. Number six, prayer really works. Prayer really does work. Years ago, 16, 17 years ago, when Aaron and I decided that we had enough, and enough was enough, and we were going to get ourselves right, we were going to honor God with our finances, we were going to get out of five figures worth of credit card debt, we were going to pay down on our student loans, we were going to get out from under this mess, we started to honor God, we started to work harder, I got a new job, and we started paying down our debts, we stopped buying stuff that we couldn't afford anymore, and in the process, my parents came in and helped out a little bit financially to help us get over the hump with one of our bills. And what you need to hear about that is, if my earthly parents are willing to help me, what do you think God is going to do when you honor Him with your finances? Because God is much more powerful and much more of a great provider than my folks ever will be able to be. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, He says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children," and we know how to do that, "how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Did you know that God's resources, your Heavenly Father's resources, are far greater than your parents? And many of you know how many times your parents have helped you out. If your parents love you enough to help you out, what do you think God is going to do for you when you turn to Him? What do you think He's going to do to you when you put your money into His hands and you honor Him with what you have? When you start to do it God's way, when you start to live His plan, when you start to tithe, you bring the first 10% that comes in your life and you bring it to the storehouse, which, by the way, is the local church. This is scriptural. And you put it in His hands. Stuff just starts to happen in your life because you've proven a trust with what you have. And He looks at you and He sees that He's put stuff in your hands. And He sees that you honor Him with your spending. And He sees that you give back some of it to Him. And then He looks at you and He says, "I can do something with this one." Wouldn't you like to have that be said of you by God? I can do something. I can do something with this one. Maybe you've made mistakes, and maybe you've dug a huge hole that you're standing in. Maybe it's a huge hole of hurt and brokenness of finances. Maybe it's brokenness spiritually or mentally. But if you're willing to come to your senses and put a plan together and honor God and call home, guess what? God is not going to ignore that, because he didn't ignore the prodigal son. He's going to throw a party for you. He's going to put new clothes on you. He's going to serve prime rib. And like the prodigal son, he's just waiting to bless you. But you need a money mind shift. You need a new attitude. You need to figure out that 20% of head knowledge, but you need that huge shift of 80% of our behavior and what we're doing. Prayer really works. And number seven, and finally, you got to go to work. You've got to go to work. We've said this about prayer in this church, and I hope you know this verbatim, but when we pray like it depends on God, and we work like it depends on who? Us. You got to pray like it depends on God, and you got to work like it depends on you. This is so true when it comes to finances. You know, we got to trust that God is a great provider, but we can't just sit on the couch and believe that he's going to provide for all of our needs. It's a partnership. We've got to work like it depends on us, and we got to pray like it depends on God. I love Little House on the Prairie, and my daughter Elizabeth is just in love with that concept. I think I was born in the wrong generation. I'm talking to the right people here. I mean, I wish I was here years ago and was able to live on the frontier. I mean, that would be incredible. No cell phone to worry about, you know, no worry about car and all that other stuff. I mean, just simple living. You ever notice what Paul did in Little House on the Prairie when they struggled financially? And guess what? They struggled financially just about every day. Every day. They did two things. Number one, they prayed and they trusted God. They trusted God. But Paul always did what when they were struggling financially? He went to work. I mean, he got a job. He got an extra job. He got three jobs if he needed to. And God always provided for them because of prayer and because of hard work. It was this divine partnership taking place right on the television screen in front of us, that God is our great provider, but God wants us to work with him. You know, God has this uncanny way through Elisha when this widow is going to have her two kids taken away because of their debt, that Elisha says to her, "What do you have in your house?" And she says, "Well, I have this oil." And he challenges her to start pouring this oil. And basically, when you read scripture, this lady opens up a lantern oil business in her own home, and she just pours oil, and God provides because there just becomes more oil and more oil. You got to put your heart into it. You got to work hard. You got to work. You maybe just create something. You got to provide a service for somebody and watch God provide in powerful ways. I mean, look at Jesus. God's blessings came through blood, sweat, and tears. Jesus had gazelle intensity in order to save your life, and we've got to work with gazelle intensity as well. We can't be satisfied. We can't accept debt. We can't do it. We can't be satisfied, and we can't accept debt. We've got to run it out with gazelle intensity. We've got to attack our car payments. We've got to attack our mortgages and pay them off. When Aaron and I moved here, we were debt-free until we purchased a home. And we purchased a home, and now we're in debt. You got a 30-year mortgage, and a lot of you here have a 30-year mortgage. But you know what? We're not going to be satisfied with that. We've got a plan to pay that thing down in 8 to 10 years and be out from under that. So yeah, from time to time, you're going to step into debt. But don't ever be satisfied with it. You got to work yourself out from under it, because you can't have multiple masters in your life. And in the process, honor God with your money. You tithe. You take the first 10%. You bring it into the storehouse to the local church. You let go of it. You don't designate it, and you don't have control of it. You let go of it. You give it to God. And God says, "Hey, I can work with this one." And then you process through this. You process through this. You make sacrifices of your wants, and you just focus on your needs. And you work hard, and you follow his principles. And if you do, it will get you out of debt every time. And I want you to breathe this in again. What if you had no payments? Breathe that in for a second. What if you had no payments? What if you were able to have your life changed, your family tree changed for eternity? You were able to bless your kids and your kids' kids. We need a money mind shift to alter the behavior, to alter the 80% of our behavioral challenges in our life when it comes to handling money. We follow the Master Jesus and not MasterCard. We follow God's plans financially. And if we do, God says he will set us free. Why? Because our chains will be gone. Our chains of debt will be gone. Here's a couple of action steps. We'll wrap it up. Number one, have a family meeting around a money mind shift. Have a family meeting around a money mind shift. Sit down and talk with your spouse. Talk with your kids. It's never too early to start with your kids. Talk with your kids about how you handle your money. Talk with your kids about how you give. Talk with your kids about how you save. You don't need to use dollar amounts. Use principles. Use percentages. And say, here are our priorities. Talk with your kids on why you don't own certain things when their buddies own things. Talk with your kids about why your car has 100,000 miles on it versus maybe possibly going into debt. Whatever it might be. Talk with your kids about this stuff. Talk with your families. Have a family meeting around a money mind shift. Number two, make a change in your behavior. Listen, if you keep doing the same things all the time, guess what you can expect? The same results all the time. Zero plus zero equals zero. And if you don't ever add anything, if you don't ever give anything to God, if you don't ever make any changes, you're going to wind up living a zero life because you've never made any kind of changes. Make a change in your behavior. Start giving. Maybe it's time for some of you to start giving or take the next step in giving. Maybe it's time to sell a car. Maybe it's time to have a budget. Maybe it's time to take Financial Peace University. Aaron and I, early this year, started a budget for the first time in all of our years, and we were able to work our way out of debt years ago through these principles. But we started a budget, and we took Financial Peace University. And not only did it continue to help us achieve our goals financially, but it revolutionized our marriage. It revolutionized our marriage. It brought us closer. It got us talking. It got us communicating. Some of you out here, you've taken this class, and you know how it will change your life. You know how it will change your life. You need to step up and take Financial Peace University. The next class is coming on December 9th. I believe it's going to be on a Thursday night. There'll be childcare here. No excuses. Step up and take it. Write Financial Peace on the back of your connection card. Number three, and finally, take the 90-day tithe challenge. Did you know that the one area of God that he says in all of Scripture where you can test him is with money and finances? The rest of the Bible actually says, do not test the Lord thy God. But he says, when it comes to money, I want you to test me. Why? Because we don't understand this until we try it. And so as a church, we want to come alongside of you and help you try it. I can share this with you. I can tell you about this. I can tell you how it's changed my life. But until you try it, you'll never experience it and you'll never understand it. And so we want you to sign up and pray about signing up for the 90-day tithe challenge, which is just simply this. If you honor God according to his principles and the way that he says it, the first 10% of everything that comes in, you give through the storehouse, which is the local church. You put it in the plate and you trust God for it. If you do that for 90 days, now don't add it up. Don't add up the bills because it won't make sense. God's math is different than ours. We're into addition. God's into multiplication. God's into multiplication. By the way, if you give God zero, God can't multiply zero. Did you know the last time that anything was multiplied by zero came up to anything else? It doesn't. Anything times zero is still zero. So we want to encourage you to take the 90-day tithe challenge. Write it down on your connection card. I'll be praying for you. And if after 90 days your life is more messed up, if after 90 days you're more miserable than you've ever been financially, if you've given in an accountable way, I'll be happy to sit down to you with you, talk to you, and pray about it. But we will give you every penny of that back because we want you to try this. It's not because the church needs your money. It's not because God needs your money. It's because you need to learn to give because when we take what we have and put it in God's hands, he will change our life forever. We'll change our life forever. I pray that God will continue the process of setting you free. And I pray for all of us to have this money mind shift. Praise be to God. Speaking of our connection cards,